Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. We're going to read that verse. We're going to read verse 15. We're going to read the end of our text, verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 and following. It's good to see you all back here tonight. If you weren't here this morning, we missed you. Glad to see you here. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 and following. The Bible says, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place." This is making me nervous a little bit. Verse 15, "For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life." And I like this next sentence. "And who is sufficient for these things?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You, God, that You are our sufficiency. Our sufficiency is in You. In and of ourselves, we were lost, we are weak, we are undone. But God, You have imputed into us something that we did not have or could not earn. And Father, we praise You for that. Without that, we are all in trouble. But Lord Jesus, You loved us enough, and that while we were yet sinners, You died for us. We're celebrating that. We're celebrating the fact that we have a new life and we have hope beyond the grave. We have hope beyond this world. And Father, we pray that as we are in this world, we could be, Lord, ambassadors for You, for the kingdom, and for the sake of those who do not know You. Give us, Lord God, tonight just a supernatural outpouring of Your Spirit to discern things that are, spiritual. And help us, dear God, to somehow manage to apply them to our lives as we go every day into the world. And we'll be sure to praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. God loves to use metaphors. We see that in Scripture. Many times you see Jesus teaching in metaphors, and we see them called parables. And you don't have to walk very far through the Word of God until you run into one of these metaphors in Scripture. A metaphor, as you know, is a common word or phrase that is used to explain or reveal a less common or greater thing. In other words, if you know the function and characteristics of this common thing, it'll help you to understand a greater thing that it, you know, even though it may be more difficult to wrap your mind around. That's what we have here tonight in Scripture. How do we know what it means to live a Christ-like life that honors God and draws people to Jesus? Well, if I understand the function and characteristics of fragrance, it's going to help me understand what everyday life, what my everyday life and your everyday life ought to look like as I live in this world for Jesus. So what I want to do tonight, and what I'm praying this message will accomplish in your life and in mine, is a refueled desire and a passion to live bold for Jesus in a deeply fallen world. And the metaphor that God uses to describe this is, we are the fragrance of Christ. Now, one of the things that I love about this passage of Scripture is that the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in the Roman city of Corinth, and right here in our text, he literally has an outburst of joy. He literally just shouts with joy. He's so happy. He's so excited. He's so pumped up with joy and praise because God has just captured his heart with the thought that if you are in Christ, then you are on the winning team regardless of what this world may throw at you. Nothing can touch the victory of Jesus that is in me and is in you. And for us to really understand this victory that Paul is trying to explain, that Paul is talking about, is what we really need to understand is the first part of verse 14. He says, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ." Again, Paul is painting a picture for his readers, for the people in the city of Corinth, and he's using a metaphor. And he's using the metaphor of a Roman victory, military victory. We've all seen in the newsreels, I think maybe as we look back over history, perhaps during World War II when the victorious Allies came rolling into Paris, you know, and you see we just celebrated 80 years, 80-year anniversary of D-Day back in June. which led to the march across France and, of course, the Falaise pocket and the victory and liberation of Paris. Well, we've seen the parades of the Allies rolling through the streets of Paris. The people of that city were cheering and shouting and celebrating, throwing flowers, waving the French and American and the British flags, kissing the soldiers. We all seen those newsreels. It was a very happy time for most people. And that's the picture that the Apostle Paul is trying to paint when he talks about being led in triumph. In the days when the Roman Empire ruled the world, when a Roman general won in battle, there would be this huge victory parade that would wind through the streets and end up in the capital city of Rome. As this general, this victorious general, led, the people would stand in the streets and celebrate and cheer. Not much has changed. In the midst of the parade would be the captured individuals of the enemy army. They were defeated and they were being led captive by the victorious general. They were wearing chains and eventually most of them would be put to death and executed. The rest of them would be enslaved. Then would come these priests who would be walking along waving censers with the burning incense inside. And if you are standing alongside the road cheering and celebrating, you would smell the sweet smell of incense, the sweet smell of victory. The general was there. All his family would be there. And the victorious soldiers were there and they would be shouting, "Victora, Victora." Paul was using this metaphor to remind us that Jesus has won the victory. He has defeated all his enemies. And you and I have the privilege of following him in this victory. As he's advancing the gospel, as he is spreading the gospel, as he is building his church, you and I who are called in Scripture a priesthood of believers go through this life walking with Jesus, spreading the fragrance of the victory that is in Christ. The way we live, the way we love, the words that we use, the expressions that we express, the way we go through life, this is how we spread the fragrance of Jesus, and every person that we come into contact with will metaphorically smell the fragrance of Christ. Now, as we study this, you have to remember the whole context of this passage is victory and celebration and the fragrance of Jesus filling the streets. And understanding that metaphor will help you to understand what our lives are to look like today. What I've tried to do tonight is narrow it down to three things that I think we need to learn and understand. Number one, we have been sent to spread the scent of our Savior. We have been sent to spread the scent, the aroma, the fragrance of our Savior. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, again, Paul says, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place." Anyone here know what a diffuser is? You know what a diffuser is? The word diffuse here means to spread throughout. Okay, in this text, it means to spread freely and willingly. That is the picture of how God, through us, is spreading freely and willingly the sweet fragrance of Jesus Christ through the world. And I can never diffuse the scent of Christ, the fragrance of Christ, until Jesus has become my Savior and my Lord. Now, the sights and the sounds and the smells of a death on the cross probably weren't pretty. But the scent of Jesus' sacrifice for our sin is a sweet smell in the nostrils of Father God and to those of us who are being saved. I guess the question that we have before us is, how do you smell tonight? Really, folks, the Christian life is so much more than saying, "Hey, I believe in God and doing the religious thing and I'm really trying to clean up my act and I'm trying to be a better person." Friends, that just doesn't work. That won't cut it. Jesus died on the cross for your sins and for my sins. And only through Jesus can I know forgiveness and eternal life when this life is over. And once we come to Christ for forgiveness, we are sent to be the scent of Jesus in the world. That is what this passage of Scripture is telling us. We are to diffuse the fragrance of the gospel of Christ everywhere we go without diluting it, without watering it down. Jesus said in John chapter 20, verse 21, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." We are to go, with the gospel to the places where we live, the places where we work, the places where we play, wherever we go, and maybe to a few places we wouldn't normally go. We are to diffuse the fragrance of Jesus Christ, and we can only do that through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And the Apostle Paul was writing, as he was writing this passage of Scripture, the impression is that he was staggered by the thought that we are the fragrance of Christ in this world. And so he said this, as the weight of all of that hit him, he said, "Who is sufficient for these things?" Has that thought ever hit you? Who is able for these things? That these things that God has called us to do. And I'm thankful that he actually answered his own question in chapter 3 when he said, "Our sufficiency is in God." He said, "We can't do it, but God can do it, and he can do it through me." Leading the way in the fragrance industry is woman's perfume. Obviously, you would assume that to be true. It's a huge business. I looked it up this week. Last year's women's perfume industry, now check this out, was a $76 billion business. The most expensive perfume, I also looked this up this week, in all of the world is called Clive Christian No. 1 Imperial Majesty. This stuff sells for, and this is the number that I got this week, $430 per milliliter. Now let me bring that into perspective. There are about 29 milliliters in an ounce. You do the math. There are only about 10 women in the world that wear this perfume, and I can promise you none of them attend First General Baptist Church. But on the cross, Jesus paid a much higher price so that you and I could be the fragrance of Christ. And we have been sent to spread the fragrance of Jesus. There is a second truth. Number 2, the fragrance of Christ. The fragrance of Christ affects all who come in contact with it. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Again, "For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." Verse 16, "To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other we are the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things?" There are only two kinds of people groups in the world. Just two, the saved and perishing. Those are the two groups. And in verse 16, that passage of Scripture shows us how the fragrance of Christ always affects people. The way people respond to the fragrance of Christ is the difference between life and death. To one, it is the stench of death, and to the other, it is the sweet smell of life. You see, when we live like Jesus and we love like Jesus and we live our lives to glorify the Lord Jesus, that's going to attract some people because they will smell life in you. But there are some people who are repelled by those very same things. They will say no to Christ. They will reject him because they love their sin and they love their sinful lifestyle too much. One group smells life leading to life. The other smells death leading to death. And regardless of their response, our responsibility is to keep going through life living for Jesus and spreading the fragrance of Christ. The way we do that can be summed up in 3 words: active, distinctive, and attractive. First of all, to spread the aroma of Christ, we must be active. Notice that the word among in verse 15 is used 2 times. Again, the priests in that victory parade were waving the censers out among the people. And you and I are not only to be spreading the fragrance of Christ among one another in this room, but instead we are also to go outside of this room and be the fragrance of our Lord and Savior, outside of these walls. We are to be involved in the lives of other people and to invade them with the love and grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I have known this, I think, for a long time, but I've never really put it in this context before. When's the last time you guys? I mean, have you been to a movie theater in a while? Okay. Do you know that theaters actively use the smell of that popcorn to get your attention? And it's effective, isn't it? They are actually enticing you to buy their way overpriced popcorn. And I ain't kidding. I mean, you can throw down a $50 bill and like, where did my money go for popcorn? It's ridiculous. You walk past the Cinnabon store in the mall. Same thing. Okay, maybe that's not your deal. All right, country school. Fried chicken. Same thing. It is a marketing strategy, but in a way it's also a picture of how you and I are to be actively spreading the fragrance of Christ. The second is the aroma. The second is the aroma of Christ. It must be not only active, it needs to be distinctive. God created things to smell differently. Amen? I mean, a lemon smells one way. The ocean has a distinctive smell. An oak forest, it has a very distinctive kind of buttery smell, if you know what I mean. Fresh cut grass, very distinctive smell. This time of year, I really like and get nostalgic over the smell of tomato plants. Very distinctive smell. Then there are skunks, right? And there is the smell of sulfur. How many of you remember Camp Joy? You remember what the water smelled like down there? Very strong sulfur smell. Not a pleasant smell. There are some flowers that I absolutely cannot stand the smell of. And they're always present in funeral homes. I mean, it almost turns my stomach. I don't know what the name of them are, but I find it very repulsive, personally. You may like them. You know, you and I are to be different. And we're not all to have the same scent as the culture of our world that we live in. You see, if we bear the scent of society, it will mask the scent of Christ in our lives. If you are a follower of Christ, then you are the fragrance of Christ. That is not the issue. The issue is, can the world smell Christ on you, or are they smelling self and society that masks and covers up the smell of Jesus? We will never make a difference in this world until we are different from the world. Thirdly, the fragrance of Christ is to be attractive. I've already talked about the effective marketing tool fragrance is and how businesses use the smell to get you to walk into their store and buy their product and part with your money. And when we give ourselves away serving other people, when we love people the way Jesus loves us, when we are intentional about telling people the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it may break our heart to know that some people will be repelled by that, but some people will also be attracted by it. Now there's one more thing I want to share with you tonight. The life that spreads the fragrance of Jesus Christ pleases God. It pleases God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15 again. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Don't miss this. The first place we are to be the fragrance of Christ to is to Father God. The mode of all of this, the purpose of living as Christ lived, is to please God and bring Him glory. That's what this is all about. We want to see people saved and all of that, but the first motive of being the fragrance of Christ is to bring glory to God. That's why we begin every service with the worship team leading us in praise. Because we want to first be the fragrance of Christ to Him. We are here to first celebrate Jesus and to worship Jesus and to bring Jesus glory. And then after we have done that, then we leave this room and become the fragrance of Christ to the world that God's placed us in. This metaphor is that of an Old Testament temple and the worship that took place there when the aroma of the incense and the burnt offerings would rise up to God. And what Paul is doing is saying that as both of these two acts of worship, which both point to Jesus, rose up to God and were a sweet fragrance in His nostrils, so is our sacrificial and others-centered lives. And in that, God is pleased. Let me put it another way. There are some scents that are unforgettable. Is that a fair statement? I don't know if it's required now. I think it is. It wasn't, apparently, when I was young, because I didn't go to kindergarten. Anybody else not go to kindergarten? Yeah, a few of you. They just figured we would just cause nothing but trouble, so they... I don't know what... Honestly, I don't know why. All my brothers and sisters did. I didn't go to kindergarten. It must not have been required. I don't know, but at any rate, I didn't go. But I do remember my first day in first grade. To this day, I remember it vividly. I don't remember what we were doing, but the teacher asked me to come with her to the supply room and help her carry back some things to class. Schools have a very distinctive smell. You know what I'm talking about? Especially art supply rooms. And to this day, and I'm going to use an expression, it's an old expression, some of you are going to know what I'm talking about, some of you are going to look at me like a calf looks at a new gate. But to this day, if I smell manila paper, anybody know what manila paper is? Do they still use that? Is that a thing? Georgia, do you know what manila paper is? See, I don't know, they don't use, maybe they don't, well, I don't even know why they call it. I used to call it vanilla paper when I didn't. But to this day, when I smell that smell, I am instantly taken back in a very nostalgic way to my first day in school, in my life. And I remember, and it has been a minute. Scientists tell us that the sense of smell is the number one trigger of memory. Like when you smell chicken at the grocery store, it takes you back to the Thanksgiving at Grandma's house. If I smell asphalt on a summer day or blacktop being sealed, I for some reason I think of Great America. Maybe because of the sun and all the blacktop, but that smell, it takes me there. Now follow me here. When you and I, through the power of God, are the fragrance of Christ to the people around us, that aroma rises up to God. And I know this is simple, but the guy preaching is simple. But I believe that God smells the aroma of the fragrance of Christ rising up from your life and from my life. And it triggers a memory. And that memory is the memory of the cross, the tomb, the resurrection, the price paid, mankind redeemed, the fellowship restored. And I believe God smiles. So here's your takeaway tonight. Let's just love Jesus so much and be so radical about our relationship with Christ that wherever we go, even after we leave, there is a lingering aroma of the presence of God. When we do that, we know that some people aren't going to like it. Some people will even be repelled by it. But some will be attracted to it. Some will say yes and be saved. But either way, guys, God will be glorified. Amen. Would you stand with me? I want to pray. And if you're here tonight and you're having a little bit of trouble being the fragrance of Christ, I want you to know that God is able. We may not be sufficient for these things, but God is able. And our sufficiency comes through Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for loving us. And Father, we thank you that you have given us the privilege of not only being the fragrance of Christ, but dear God, being a part of the ministry work that causes others to live for you and to love you. Lord Jesus, we are grateful that you're mindful of us in this way. And we're grateful that you forgive us even when we fail you. Heavenly Father, when we don't always look like you and smell like you and behave like you and talk like you. It's difficult sometimes in this harsh world that we live in to be able to reflect the light and the love of the Savior that loves us so much that He died for us. But in some way, dear God, we can find the sufficiency to do just that if we'll lean on you and trust you. Heavenly Father, that's what our prayer is tonight. God, our prayer and our hope and our desire is that if there's somebody here tonight, or maybe many, maybe most, Father, that are struggling with this issue of just living the Christian life and being who you've called us to be,
Father, for whatever reason, complacency, carelessness, maybe just a lack of interest, or maybe just because life is not easy, life is hard, and Satan has thrown so much across our path that it makes it even more difficult. But Lord, it is refreshing to know that the Apostle Paul, when he was writing this, in and of himself, the man that he was, knew that he wasn't able to live this way. But he also knew that he could do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Our sufficiency is in you tonight, God, and that's what our petition is. Father, that you would fill all the voids, and that you would give us all the things that we stand in need of tonight, so we might be the people you've called us out to be. We love you, Heavenly Father. Help us now, God, as we go into this time of decision. And Lord, help us as we go out of this place and into, Lord, our respective places of service and ministry and to our homes. And help us to be who you've called us to be, in Jesus' name.